It's the morning show. John Munson in for Kate Archer Kent. The UW-Madison, Wisconsin's flagship university, is talking about reorganizing its vast library system. The new plan calls for a hub system with six high-tech locations with space to collaborate. The shift would close 22 smaller libraries across the campus and cut the space for books by more than half. We'll hear from two guests this hour who will explain the plan and provide some context for it. My first guest is Ed Van Gemmert, Vice Provost for Libraries and University Librarian for the University of Wisconsin-Madison. He oversees campus libraries, coordinates campus collections, and leads policy and strategic planning. He joins me from our studios in Madison to explain the plan and help us consider the factors that prompted a change at the UW System's flagship university. Ed Van Gemmert, welcome to the morning show.
Good morning, John. Thank you.
So, as I understand it, this plan was a long time in the making. Let's start by talking about how we got here and the reasons for exploring a shift in the way the libraries are structured at UW-Madison.
Sure, I'd be glad to. Thank you for having me on this morning. I always welcome an opportunity to talk about our great library system. So, start off with a little bit of a interesting story. The first recommendation that I'm aware of that for the consolidation or merger of libraries on this campus was written, believe it or not, in 1965. And so it's to say things that move slowly on the Madison campus is not an understatement. But more recently, within the last 5 years, we've been very focused on attempting to do more merging and consolidation of our libraries. We had 43 libraries on the Madison campus, which is an enormous number of libraries in today's world. That number made perfect sense at a time when one needed to be, decades ago, when one needed to be very close to his or her journal, particularly when a new issue might come out, you know, in a given week. Today, of course, with the prevalence of electronic resources and digital material, it makes less sense. So there's certainly an economization that's occurring. We've it was about 3 years ago, I think it was, that then Associate Vice Chancellor Bill Elvey suggested to me that rather than approaching what he called one-off remodeling projects, which of course are very expensive. For example, we've built what we call a biocommons at the Steenbach Library. We've built, secondly, we have a number of remodeling projects that we've been working on, and they each have a price tag. And Bill suggested that we have a more coordinated approach for our overall development of the libraries in the 21st century. Your listeners might be familiar, if you've been on the Madison campus, to see the results of the master plans from, for example, the unions on campus, housing with the new dormitories, recreational sports, of course, is going through an incredible transformation now. College of Engineering, a number of schools and colleges and units have undergone a master plan. So it was the end of 15, beginning of 2016, the governor's office awarded two external consultant groups, Enberg Anderson out of Milwaukee Madison and Bright Spot Strategies out of New York City, with the contract for services to provide a master plan for UW-Madison libraries. And I'd be more than glad to go into great detail. I'm sure questions will arise. But the essential points are that the plan, the charge of the consultants was to identify the quantity and the quality of the existing spaces on campus, of which we have about 800,000 square feet, and secondly, to project the needs for the future space needs for the libraries, and then thirdly, to suggest or recommend a model moving forward for the libraries. And that model that was recommended was a movement away from highly decentralized, very discipline-based, smaller libraries to a more hub model on campus where students and others, faculty and community, would be able to expect a consistent level of services at each location, plus the specialized services that we could afford at one or two of the libraries, but probably not all.
To give people an idea of what the present configuration is, mm-hmm. When you talk about libraries being sort of related to specific disciplines, so there's a library that's focused on ag, for example, and there are other libraries on the campus that have different emphasis. They're not the number of libraries, more than 20 libraries across the campus, they don't all house the same collections, they don't all have the same journals in them, or the same printed matter. A lot of these are really focused on a particular discipline, which, as you say, made sense. What you're saying now, though, if I understand it, is that you're going to kind of blend all of these things and make material available across the system from a variety of disciplines via electronics.
Yeah, so there's a lot behind your question there, John. And so one of the phenomena that's occurring is that, so when we do our user research of students, faculty, and the community, there are three things that come out. One is the comment, continue to provide us with the information resources that we need to do our work. That's number one. The second thing is the importance of librarian expertise. You can imagine today, and I think your listeners would understand this, that the problem today isn't that there's a lack of information. The problem today is that there's so much information available. Many people, we're in the midst of having discussions about what is real and what is fake. And so determining, helping to filter, to qualify what is scholarly content and that's been researched properly and that has proper citation and that could be used to extend an argument is a really important information literacy skill today. And then thirdly, the importance of space is still prominent. John, so to your question, yes. For example, we've got a physics library. We've got a math library. We have an astronomy library. And in days past, those libraries collected specialized journals. And today, the other piece at work here, of course, is the incredible reductions that we've had to make at the university level and university libraries, so that when a journal, for example, is canceled on the what we call the west side of campus, more the science end of campus, it has an impact in the humanities and the social sciences, so that things are far more multidisciplinary today than they once were. And so that's one of the reasons why the consultants suggested a hub model.
So let me do something I forgot to do at the beginning of the program, and that is to invite our audience to get involved in the discussion. Mm-hmm. 800-642-1234, email us. ideas@wpr.org. You can post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. You can tweet us at WPR Mornings, 800-642-1234. For our listeners, does it make sense to you to consolidate libraries at UW-Madison? When was the last time you used a library? Does internet access make libraries irrelevant, do you think? Or how does it change the way you might use the library? All of those things and much more, certainly a part of this discussion, 800-642-1234. So you're reducing the total number of libraries down to six in a hub configuration. Physically, and we're getting close to where we need to take a break here, but physically, give us the short version of how this will affect how students access material across the physical campus at UW-Madison.
Sure. The idea would be, of course, that a person would be within 10 to 15 minutes of any library physically. But just consider this for a moment. The library's website is the second most heavily used website on campus, second only behind the campus website, with over 6 million visits a year. Electronic journals are used more than 6 million times a year, and we've got, you know, I mean, I've got corresponding numbers that show, of course, the incredible decline in the use of print. Now, I know you got to go into a break, but the point that I want to make is that despite the decline in the use of print, print remains very important for the university and for university libraries. We want to make sure one of our core missions moving forward is to continue to preserve the scholarly record, and that includes print, that includes all formats.
Okay.
So
we're going to go to the news here, Ed Van Gemert, and then we'll come back and continue our discussion. My guest is Vice Provost for Libraries and University Librarian for the University of Wisconsin-Madison. He oversees campus libraries, coordinates campus collections, and leads policy and strategic planning. He's explaining some changes proposed for the UW-Madison Library. I'm John Munson. This is The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. We're talking about libraries today. The genesis for this particular program is a proposal to consolidate libraries at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, closing 22 of them. We have a pair of guests with us, and just a few minutes, we'll be shifting our focus to university libraries more generally across the country and talking about this plan at UW-Madison in a broader context. But for just the next couple of minutes, we have Ed Van Gemert with us, Vice Provost for Libraries and University Librarian for the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Ed, just a couple of things here that I really wanted to make sure we got to. We're talking about closing 22 libraries. Are we also looking then at staff cuts and layoffs?
No, John. So with recent budget reductions over the last 10 years, we've made significant budget reductions, including staff attrition. We've done all that through retirements. And actually, it's an area that I'm very proud of. In the last biennium, the libraries were, along with other units on campus, we were reduced $1.1 million on our personnel budget. And we really tried hard. I've got an incredible executive group, and we worked hard to we managed those reductions without a single layoff. The consultants in this report, we're currently, John, at about 220 FTE within the general library system, full-time equivalent staff, and the consultants are projecting that same number 25 years into the future. So who knows? But and it's the other thing I wanted to say, too, is that the master plan is a 25-year projection, and it includes a series of phased-in projections over time.
Mm-hmm. And then, do you think this is a plan that that could be used at other UW campuses in the future?
Other UW campuses, probably not. I think that there are concepts and principles within the plan that are uniform or apply to other libraries across North America. We are not. Mm-hmm. On the edge of the curve here, and but UW system libraries, of course, are oftentimes single libraries in the first place. So the amount of consolidation, and I'm just guessing here, John, but the amount of consolidation would be tend to be a little bit more internal reorganization rather than physical.
Matter of scale.
Yep.
So finally, what's next for this plan? How soon will we see any of these changes come about?
Well. So the first changes, actually the first recommendation to the plan is to continue our work with consolidation. So even though the efforts of consolidation and the remodeling and rebuilding within the master plan are two separate ideas, there is an integration of those two for obvious reasons. But so number one is for us to continue with our consolidation work. The first plan that requires resources is to remodel our undergraduate library, our college library. And just as a footnote, the first study day, I think it was Thursday last week, either Wednesday or Thursday, at 3 p.m., there were over 1,500 students in college library, which you would not normally think 3 p.m. would be a heavy time in the library, heavy use time, but the amount of usage of our undergraduate library is just incredible. It's great to see today. So and then the plan follows through with the beginning of the rebuilding of Memorial Library, our humanities and social sciences library on the east end of campus, and follows through with construction of an off-site preservation quality, that's actually an important phrase, preservation quality storage facility, and then the remodeling and rebuilding of Steenbach Library, our agricultural and science library on the West End, and the concept of a new library on south of University Avenue that fills in the whole corridor from engineering all the way down to business. Okay. And that could be part of a larger campus building is what we're thinking. So a library within a larger campus building.
All right, Ed Van Gemmert, thanks for spending this time with us this morning. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome, John. Thank you.
Ed Van Gemmert is Vice Provost for Libraries and University Librarian for the University of Wisconsin-Madison. We're going to shift our focus now on the morning show and kind of expand this conversation and take a look at the context for this. What's changing about how we use libraries? We know that students and researchers use modern libraries differently than they do than they did in past decades. Our next guest is Cheryl Middleton, president of the Association for College and Research Libraries. The organization is part of the American Library Association, which promotes libraries, advocates for improvements, and supports the profession of librarians. What we're going to do in this segment is, well, we're going to provide a broader context for what's going on at UW-Madison in terms of library trends nationwide, and we'll take a look at the ways libraries help people learn as technology and preferences change. So, again, when was the last time you used a library? Does internet access make libraries irrelevant, do you think? How does it change the way you interact with your library? If you're a college librarian, we'd like to hear from you. Maybe you're studying to be one. What don't people understand about the work, and how do you contribute to learning and discovery? 800-642-1234 is the number to call, 800-642-1234. You can email us, ideas@WPR.org, post to the Ideas Network Facebook page, or tweet us at WPR Mornings. Cheryl Middleton, welcome to the morning show.
Good morning, John. How are you today?
Well, I'm awake so far, and I'll settle for that. So,
well, I'm awake too. I've had several cups of coffee. It's 4 a.m. in Oregon, and it's early for me.
You know, I completely forgot the fact that you were on the West Coast. So thank you, an extra thank you for being able to get up this early. I was up at 3:45 today, so I feel your pain.
I'm so pleased that you've contacted ACRL and given us an opportunity to talk about this really important topic.
Well, we as you heard the end of our conversation with Ed Van Gemmert. We were talking about UW-Madison as an example of library consolidation. You're coming at this from a national perspective. So from what you've seen elsewhere, does this UW-Madison proposal represent the way you're seeing university libraries evolve across the country?
I have to say that that the University of Madison and what they're doing is unique to their particular institution, but this is something that we are seeing across the country for academic libraries. I was perusing some of our ACRL publications, and one of the things that I ran across recently was a book that was published in 2015 called Difficult Decisions, Closing and Merging Academic Libraries. It was edited by Sarah Holder and Amber Butler Lannon. And that really kind of summed it up for me as I was looking at libraries. There's a lot of space renovation going on now in academic libraries that focus on the user experience now. And I think the University of Wisconsin-Madison is in good company in terms of what's happening to consolidate libraries with space. University of Washington has consolidated libraries, Purdue, University of British Columbia, University of California, San Diego. So there's been quite a different approaches to how do we create spaces for our users that are conducive to learning, and yet how are we good stewards of our spaces on campus?
Well, is some of this being driven by resource constraints? I mean, universities are seemingly these days looking at constant budget cuts at the state level, regardless of the state you go to. And is that the major driver here, or is it the way that people interact with research materials? Has that changed so much that that's what's driving this, or is it both?
I'm going to have to say it's both. We definitely, for our learners now, we've seen an increase in digital resources. So there's researchers are able to access digital collections 24 hours a day, and so we're seeing that decline in our print acquisitions. We're seeing a demand from the students or the undergraduate researchers that for spaces for collaborative study, for quiet study, for we see partnerships on campus where we're looking to do STEM tutoring or writing tutoring, just kind of this repurposing of a space to meet the learners' needs now. And I don't think it's necessarily all about digital collections. It's really about how our students learn now and how they interact with the library. I know at Oregon State University, where our library, it's almost kind of like the hub of the campus, and people come there to study. They come there to reflect. They come there to socialize. Our learners use libraries now in ways that are different. Used to be, you would come into a library and you would go to your print collection and you would find something and very quietly sit and study, and it's a whole different environment now when you go in of activity and learning and different types of services. So there's one aspect that the users are, you know, their needs are changing, and we need to be attuned to that for libraries to be relevant. The other aspect of it could be budgetary constraints, and I hate to say budgetary constraints, it could be space constraints on the campus. One of the things that struck me when I was reading about the University of Wisconsin-Madison's change was that they have over 125 miles of shelving. And when you think about that, in terms of space with campuses maybe that are running out of space, some of our more built-up campuses, I think that their institutions might be looking at and asking libraries to be stewards of, you know, better stewards of their spaces, and to they might be looking towards freeing up some of the space because they can't build any longer on the campus. And so they're not just looking at library space, they're looking at space across the entire campus.
800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. That's the number to call to join our discussion. We're talking about academic university libraries. We started the hour focused on changes that have been proposed for the UW-Madison libraries. Of course, the UW-Madison campus, one of those great big land-grant universities, big chunk of real estate, lots of libraries. They're working on a master plan for all of their libraries, and they're considering quite a bit of consolidating. what we're talking about now. We're broadening the discussion to put some context on this and talking about the ways that students use libraries and the trends nationally and what that all means. But wondering what your take is. So I know in Wisconsin, in addition to the UW-Madison, we have UW campuses scattered across the state. Most of them have a single library. And even though they wouldn't be looking at consolidating their physical space, there are ways that libraries get used at these campuses that has changed dramatically over the past couple of decades. And so think about if you're in one of those communities that has a UW campus, how has your library use changed? And what do you think about all of this? 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. We're talking about research and college libraries here, Cheryl Middleton, but when I hear you talk about these various issues, these trends exist in the local public library as well, don't they?
I would say yes, that this is something that that libraries of all types are facing as our population is coming into the libraries with different expectations of how the space should be used. And I think one way that libraries are successful with this are by consulting those users or staying abreast of the trends. So spaces that had collections in them might be freed up due to digital access. But these are hybrid libraries, hybrid models. It's not either or. We're not at a point yet where we can totally transition away from print libraries and
yes.
Just go all digital. And there's a preference. I was talking to a consultant about library space, and one of the things that he shared with me was that the sales of print books are actually going up, which was kind of interesting. So there's a place for both now.
We have an email from Jenna in La Crosse who says, libraries have to change with the times. They are still crucial to colleges and the community, but they must adapt. I think this plan for UW-Madison is a good one. Jenna seems to be voicing a sentiment that you would probably agree with.
I do agree. I agree that that libraries do have to change to accommodate the learners that they serve. That doesn't mean that the basic principles of libraries will change. We're still going to be places of access and discovery and of new knowledge creations. And I think that we can make these changes while keeping our primary mission in place.
We have to take a break for news, but Cheryl Middleton, stay with us. We'll be back in just a few minutes and have more of our discussion. We're talking about the changing way that academic libraries on our college campuses are being used and what that means for physical space, for how libraries are organized, and what we can expect in the future. We would like to get your take on this as well. My guest in this segment is Cheryl Middleton, president of the Association for College and Research Libraries. 800-642-1234. Phones are filling up right now. You can also send us an email, ideas@wpr.org. We're talking about libraries this hour on The Morning Show. John Munson in for Kate Archer Kent. We started out the hour talking about a proposed consolidation of library services at the UW-Madison. We've expanded that discussion to a more general one about how academic libraries are being used and how they're evolving across the country. Helping us out with that is Cheryl Middleton, president of the Association for College and research libraries. Cheryl, we've got a caller who wants to join the program. Let's go to Stevens Point, and Doug is on the line. Good morning, Doug.
Good morning. I had a couple things. One, I worked as a student worker in a library at a two-year UW school, and during that time, I got to see a lot of stuff from the worker side, but not everything because I'm only a student worker. But the move to online searching of materials is so much faster than trying to pick out one book on the shelf, go to that book, open it up, see what you find, then search for another book, and so on and so forth. So moving to being able to search things online on the computer much quicker, you can jump from book to book to book or article to article to article a lot faster. So I like that more. The other thing I was going to say is about all of the books and stuff that is copyright is up. Why can't we move to digitizing those things to free up space for libraries, even nationwide? I don't know.
Okay.
That's worth talking
about. All right,
about.
Doug, thanks so much. Thanks so much for your call and for your question. Cheryl Middleton?
Hi, Doug. It was a great question that you asked, and I'm glad that you are making full use of those digital resources. In terms of why can't we digitize everything that's in print, I think we have to take into consideration that there's just hundreds of millions of books out there with copyright, and that to digitize those is an investment that I would say most academic libraries can't handle on their own. I know that the HathiTrust and Google, they're looking at doing some digitization, but even they are limited to things that are out of copyright now. So in terms of being the cost of trying to make that kind of a move,
I would think that there would be some legal and security issues surrounding that as well.
Yes, there would definitely be some legal and security issues. I can't see that a lot of publishers would allow us to or authors jump in and digitize all their content.
Okay, so but that does bring up another question, though, because anytime we talk about library consolidation, this comes up. What happens to all of that wonderful printed material that may be in the public domain, for example? Where's it going? Is it going to be tossed in the trash? Where does all of this stuff go? And I'm thinking about something that Ed Van Gemmert said earlier about the UW-Madison libraries. I mean, talking about closing 22 libraries, that they had all of these really discipline-specific academic journals in them. And I'm thinking other big campuses have the same issue. So they got all this printed material. What happens to all of that stuff?
I think that when libraries are looking at reducing their collections, there's a number of things that could happen to materials. They could be shared with other libraries that don't have access to the print materials in other countries. They could be placed into off-site storage. I do want to say that academic libraries take the preservation of the print collection that and scholarship very seriously, and so we do collaborate together through organizations such as West in our case in Oregon, we have the Cascade Alliance, which is a consortium of 32 academic libraries, where we look at making sure that our users have access to those materials, the print materials. So they don't necessarily just wholesale go into a library and, pull everything out and ship them off to the dumpsters. There's a lot of other considerations. There's off-site storage. There's donations. So there's a number of activities that libraries will engage in, but we do that very thoughtfully, mm-hmm. and making sure that it's based on the needs of our particular institutions. There are definite reasons why print collections are valuable. Scientists in the social sciences and humanities may use collections different than somebody in the STEM field or the hard sciences.
And having things digitally allows campuses to share. We did have a comment actually from Ed Van Gemmert, who is still with us. He says UW-Madison was one of the early partners in the Google Books project, and to date they've digitized about 700,000 books, all of which are available in the Hathi Trust. And UW-Madison is also part of a shared print program for Big Ten schools so that not every school has to keep every book or journal. And they also have some offsite storage. So there's that. Let's go to Milwaukee next. Let's take another call. We'll go to Laura in Milwaukee. Laura, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for this program. I wanted to ask a purchasing question that I think is related to both the other caller and what we're talking about, which was about ebooks and starting to purchase even longer monographs and other books that are coming out of university presses as ebooks. Because I agree with the student caller who said the digital searching is really wonderful, and even Google Books and your ability to pick out things, there's so much more available. But even in committees where we've looked at e-textbooks, we found that students like the searchability of very quick online searches as a supplement. But when it gets down to really getting into a book, a whole book can be really very difficult to read all as an e-textbook or as an e-monograph. But increasingly, I see our college library starting to go in that direction rather randomly, I think. So I'm wondering what it looks like from the other side.
Thanks, Laura. Cheryl?
I think what Laura says in terms of the usability of ebooks and monographs, that there is a preference sometimes by students for the print. And I think libraries are addressing that. Sometimes there's a print on demand where the textbook can be printed as long as we're, you know, within the copyright sanctions, but we have to remember that the technology is constantly being updated, and that we're in a transition period. That there are users who are coming in who will quite possibly never know any other type of resource, and that I think reading as we know it, it will evolve and change the technologies and how people will be using these materials. And so academic libraries are sensitive to e-books and the reader preference, and sometimes it's not the thing for someone. So that's why we're in a transition, and there's a, you know, an option typically between we don't replace every e-monograph with a print book, but mm-hmm. That we try and pay attention to textbooks in particular to make sure that we have what our students need, that we're not just going through and going, oh, everything's gone to e-monographs.
Right.
There is a method to the madness.
And it may not, and there may be some interesting generational things here. We had an email from Dave in Monona who said, I'm a 50-something and love ebooks, but my 17-year-old college-bound son likes real books and will always choose a physical book over an ebook. I thought it would be generational, but at least in our case, it isn't. So we may be seeing some really interesting ways this whole thing will play out. We're almost out of time. There's a couple of quick things I'd really like to hit. Prior to the interview, you mentioned to my producer that one thing college libraries can do is provide access to things that the majority of students might not have easy access to, for example, a 3D printer. Very quickly, what are some innovations that could be made that would give more students access to more technology?
That we were discussing kind of the maker spaces in libraries, and those are great ways to give students to technology such as 3D printers and other technologies. Libraries are willing to kind of be out on the edge, and one of our missions is to make sure that technologies are available to everyone. So sometimes technologies are kind of maybe locked up in the engineering department or in the art department. And so libraries have opportunities to step into that space and provide these technologies that might not be open to the rest of the, they might be locked up in a particular, you know, college or department. And so we kind of democratize the access to that technology and the types of technologies that are available tend to it depends on what is being used on the campus and what the library can support.
And what they can afford.
What they can afford.
Looking, we got about 30 seconds left. Looking way ahead, can you envision a completely digital world where the library looks a whole lot different from what it looks like right now? For example, no printed material.
That's hard for me generationally and being a librarian.
I could see
something that looks very different from what it looks like now. There may be technologies that actually would provide that reading experience without the in a way that's more palatable to the user.
We'll have to leave it there. Thank you so much for joining us. Cheryl Middleton is the president of the Association for College Research Libraries. Earlier in the hour, we heard from Ed Van Gemmert, Vice Provost for Libraries for the University of Wisconsin-Madison. This hour of the morning show was produced by Keely Bultina and Chris Molina and Cheryl Gasser. Michelle Johnson is the executive producer. I'm John Munson. This is the morning show on the Ideas Network.